Okay, so we have a question from our friend Elizabeth. Do you remember our friend Elizabeth? Okay. She wanted you to speak to fear and how fear can interfere with your life and interfere with your ability to make choices and how it can impede and have a negative impact on you.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I dislike fear so much because I have found that it has frozen me from doing things, stopped me from doing things, held me in place from learning, kept me from going and doing things that I really wanted to do but was afraid to do it, to the point that I have dumped all fear. I do not do fear any way, shape, or form. I am so afraid of fear, I won't do it. Does that make any sense? When I was a child, my guides told me that I had to stop fear. I had to get it out of me. And I said, well, how do I do this? And they said, you do what you fear the most. Okay. So I was afraid of jumping, of falling, of getting hurt. Because when I was real little, I fell and hurt my head really, really bad, which probably helped my psychic abilities. I don't know.
And here we are.
And here we are. So they taught me where I could jump. I had these boulders where I lived. I lived in Almaden, California. And there was these really nice boulders. Some were really big, some were smaller. And they had me jump from the boulder to the ground where it was safe for me to do it, but I could get over my fear of jumping. So I got over my fear of jumping. They taught me where was safe was to jump and where was not safe to jump. So they started programming me to dump the fear. I had another really big fear of coffins.
Like you die and they put you in the ground?
No, coffins, just period. Hi. Oh.
How y'all doing?
Hi.
We'll have to expand here in a minute, apparently.
Yeah.
Why don't you grab
a chair?
Grab a chair.
Just make sure you guys don't hit that separation point there. That's going to be dangerous.
Yeah. Ease it forward.
Need one more chair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just make sure ease the chair forward. Yeah, it can't be on that strip.
If it'll take the strip up if you're not cautious.
Move it up. There we go. That's good.
Yeah, or keep it on the carpet part. Then you're safe. All right.
Change your mind.
We're talking about fear. So I was afraid of coffins. I was afraid of dead people in coffins. I was afraid of anything like that. I don't know what it was. It was irrational, but I just was. And I think it went back to my brother's death. That's the only reason I can think of for it to have for me to have that fear. So my guide said, all right, you've got to get rid of this fear. So they had me stay in a funeral home overnight watching horror movies with a coffin with a dead guy in it outside my room. And I did it. And I got over my fear. Now don't ask me how that came into effect. It was a real sneaky thing that they did, though. They made sure that I had to go to San Francisco, and they made sure that I had to meet the right people that owned the funeral home that said, come stay in the funeral parlor if we have a spare room. You don't have to worry about getting a hotel. So I got over that particular fear. The horror movies were a real treat, too. But they told me that fear would stand in your way.
Here comes more.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is not going to work. We're gonna have to move.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to move.
Is it Cat?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have a chair for right here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. It's cold.
Anyway.
Meeting's going on.
What? Meeting's going on. I'm sorry. Right here.
Where was I? Oh, okay.
Just finished with the.
You just. The funeral home.
More movies and funeral home.
Anyway, they told me that fear was a great detriment to my growth, that I could not grow and evolve and learn what I had to learn if fear stood in my way. And well, I really came to terms with that when I got involved with dealing with the demonic. Had I had fear in my heart, I never would have been able to do the work that I needed to do. Because when you deal with the demonic, you can't have a shred of fear. None. Especially if you do exorcisms. There cannot be an iota of fear there. Or you'll get hurt. Severely hurt.
What gave you, I know that if you have faith and I guess if you know what you're doing, you don't.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep doing what you're doing and not be scared of that.
You have to understand, with me, my guides have taught me everything. It's been like a constant school for me, and it's been perpetual. The first time I ever got into the demonic realm was some people showed up on my doorstep. It was a family, a mother and a father and a child. They said, we got a message that you could help us. And I said, what's going on? Our child is demonically possessed. Okay, where do I go from here? And I started being trained in dealing with the demonic. It was an 8-year process. Step by step. And what they told me, which is what I teach now, they told me that demons are, what is it?
Cockroaches.
Yeah,
cockroaches.
Demons are cockroaches. Christ is raid.
Yeah.
And that's how I had to look at it. And I could have no fear because they feed off fear. Their power is confusion, illusion, and fear. If you don't have that, they can't touch you.
Okay.
So, the fear question is a really good one. I don't allow it. I absolutely do not allow it. Now, I've hit entities that are pure fear. You will come in contact with them. You will have a rush of fear with absolutely no thought to it.
That's Sons of Darkness, correct?
Dark Side, yeah. Sons of Darkness. And I've also learned that fear can be used in a positive. There is a positive fear you can use. It's like you recognize there's danger. You recognize that because you instantly have your solar plexus contract. So that's where that instant fear is. That it also makes for adrenaline flow, which can give you power, it can give you energy and strength that you otherwise wouldn't have. So there are some positive aspects to it if you use it correctly. My guide used to have me, it's really strange, they'd have me lay in bed and think of something fearful, feel the solar plexus, and then think of using it as adrenaline for strength. So I practice with it. It sounds odd, but
I kind of have done the same thing without labeling it like that, without knowing it.
It's good practice, getting your adrenaline, because you can activate your adrenaline. And that way, see, there's kind of like two forms of fear. One is the warning fear that hits you, that you're in danger and you have to look out, that can be converted into adrenaline. And then there's the other fear, which drains you and holds you in place and paralyzes you. Okay? It's like two forms of anger. You have righteous anger, which strengthens you, and you have emotional anger, which weakens you. Fear's the same way. So it can initially be used in a correct way if you don't get caught in it, locked into it. Sort of understand? Yeah. Do I need to make that clearer? Okay.
When you mean the fear, like the gripping, the warning sign fear, I'm trying to think of like maybe another way to describe that would be, I mean, I like the warning sign.
If a car cuts in front of you, mm-hmm. you have that initial fear, that gripping in the solar plexus. That's mm-hmm. what I'm speaking yeah. of. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
It's the one that you use when you know something isn't it, like if for example when I traveled and I was thinking about going to a certain place and I got that gripping, that fear, and I knew to stay away and it went away.
Yes.
So it's a trigger. It can be a trigger to make a decision as well.
Absolutely. And
sort of like foreknowledge almost.
Yes.
But not foreknowledge in your head. It's a foresense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that part, that aspect of fear can be used for your betterment, for your safety. But if you get locked into it, it'll paralyze you and you can do nothing.
Keeps you from taking action.
Yeah, exactly. It's a warning.
I have another.
Okay.
Why is the membrane thinner? This was from last week, or last meeting. Talking about the membrane between this and the other side. Why is it thinner at certain times, and why is it maybe thinner now than it was this time a few years ago?
Are you speaking like at Halloween? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said during Halloween it was thinner.
I think because there has been so much use of vortexes and ceremonies throughout history that has created openings, has weakened laws, has made for thinner because it's been allowed and allowed and allowed. And there have been people that have worshipped ancestors, people who did worship in Satanism, witchcraft, that sort of thing that has open for that. It's like using a Ouija board.
So because of the increase of activity during that time of year, let's say if it's Halloween, then that is making the membrane thinner between the, because it was the third and fourth
during
dimension.
During that time frame.
Yeah.
It's almost like an anniversary remembrance.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the events that happened. They happened. There were so many people doing those worships and those that ceremonies continuously at the same time every year.
Yeah.
For so many years.
Solstice.
That it, now it's sort of, well, get
active. And people are still doing it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not only the people that are in body doing the rituals, but the other side that's waiting for that time of year to come along and knowing that they will be summoned.
Demonic.
Yeah.
The demonic uses those opportune times to open and allow dark things to come through. It's just weaker that time, during those time frames. Solstices, when we had to do work in other countries, we always had to do it during the solstice without fail.
Winter, summer?
All. Spring, summer, fall. Didn't have to do any in winter, though.
And that's when the...
Birthday vacation.
There you go.
Solstice is when it's the longest day, or I can't remember astrologically what the significance of the solstice is.
The equinox mm-hmm. is the shortest. I think the solstice is the equal.
It's the equinox. Change of season. It's mm-hmm. actually it's for planting, if you want to know the mm-hmm. truth. But it it's a shifting of the season, of the energies of the season, of the weather patterns, all of that.
But I mean, I think it's tied somehow astrologically, I believe, to the planetary bodies and whatnot.
Yeah, it all works together.
Yeah. I think the solstice is the longest. Like, the winter solstice is Christmas.
It's the longest night. Isn't it? It's the longest night. So and then Christmas. The summer solstice is the longest day.
Longest day, yeah. Okay.
And it's in 2 days. Christmas, 21st.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we never did anything during that time. It's always spring.
March, usually.
Yeah.
Wasn't like 2012 supposed to be on December 21st?
December 21st, mm-hmm. Yes.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? The darkest night, the longest night.
Yeah.
New question.
Okay.
Merkaba, no.
No. It's not appropriate.
That was a question from last.
Yeah.
That was last meeting. I'm nearly
ready to answer it. I'm going to have to mark it out of my book and you don't.
I think it would be wise for people that want to understand the Merkaba to do their research on the Merkaba. It's a light body.
In the Keys of Enoch.
The Keys of Enoch, but it's other places.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unknown.
J.J. Hertug has a whole DVD out about it, about the graphics, graphically explaining it.
We have crystal Merkaba and geometric shapes, which are cool.
And the purpose of the Merkaba, or a Merkaba?
To travel, it's your connector to God. But it's also, we weren't going to do this.
Uh-huh. He's sly.
Gotcha.
He's got you. Gotcha. There's that hook.
You said you were going
to cover it. That's pretty good.
You're going to get people that don't know anything about anything and going into Merkaba.
Yeah. Put your finger on it.
We can stop it.
No. Read up on it. There's a lot of information about the Merkaba. It's more than one thing.
Okay, what else you got? What information would you say to read? Whose information? That was mine.
I like J.J. Hertek's information on it. I prefer...
I'm sure there's a lot of misinformation, too.
There's misinformation about everything, but J.J., I don't know now, but I worked with JJ in the past in Egypt, and I found him to be very accomplished, and he knew stuff about me and my work that there would be no other way for him to know.
No other way to know than what?
Than
being connected.
A direct
being
connection,
directly
yeah.
connected to spirit. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
He knew that I had to do specific things that I learned that I had to do through my Monday night meeting. We were working on a tunnel that connected the pyramid to the base of the Sphinx, which opened into 9 chambers underneath the Sphinx. And that's what I was working with. I was working with him and Boris Said and a number of people, which is really fascinating.
Fun things.
Needless to say, they never opened that up, although they did locate the tunnel and they did somewhat open it, found that it was full of water, and they did find the chambers, but they didn't open the chambers. That's where the Library of Atlantis is supposed to be, in those chambers. And they were filled with something because Tom DeBakey did a sounding and found that the chambers were filled with
something.
They didn't know what.
Well, considering what happened to everybody who opened King Tut's tomb, I would not want to be there.
I mentioned that to Boris because the plan was that we were going to go through the tunnel into the antechamber and thus going into the chambers. And I'm going, Boris, do you think maybe we need to have masks and oxygen? I mean, there's like really super ancient bacteria that's going to be down there.
Well, on the curses and everything.
I really wasn't concerned about the curses because I knew if there were, I would have been told.
You could handle that, too.
I know, I could deal with that. I was more concerned about bacteria.
Different
and practical.
Well, there were certain things you had to do to allow HRTAC to go into certain areas, didn't you?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And he knew what those things were.
Right. Were those not curses?
They were not curses. They were entities that were bound to protect the specific area. There was three entities? Three entities, I believe.
Either two or three.
It was two entities that were bound into the antechamber to stop anyone from going any farther than the antechamber. You have to understand, these chambers were stair-stepped underneath the Sphinx. And the antechambers sat directly at the base of the Sphinx, the tail of the Sphinx. And they did find that. And Boris, who I spent most of my time with, he and Dr. Shore, Dr. Joseph Shore, when I met J.J. HRTAC, he said, I know what you have to do before we can go into the antechamber. He said, I know that you have to release the two entities that are bound there. And it blew my mind.
How could you do that as far as the ownership type of?
Had permission.
From?
From Egypt, the government.
Okay.
We had to have that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
To do
that's
it.
Who were you getting
to do the
from?
Work that we were doing, we had permission.
Did that go smoothly, or did you have to talk them into?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Smoothly? No, nothing but smoothly. I spent, I think, 23, 24 days there. I had total free run of anything that I wanted to go into, which was really kind of cool. And we started getting close. I told him where the tunnel was. I told Boris where the tunnel was. The tunnel was there. And the government would not give him permission to open the tunnel entrance. Now, the tunnel entrance was a black slab of granite in the shape of a sarcophagus lid. The only difference was the sarcophagus lid has a lip on it, okay? Mm-hmm. This didn't.
Yeah, because it needed to be open.
That's right. Yeah. So, they wouldn't give us permission to open that up. And it was so frustrating. And Boris got so mad, and Dr. Shore got so mad. But they started coming to the realization that there really was a tunnel there. There really were chambers underneath the Sphinx. And belief systems could be blown apart.
Well, you were saying that the things that they would find in there were actually older than what predated
Egypt. Yes.
Than Egypt itself, so therefore all of their accomplishments in Egypt and their heritage would be nil at that point.
Correct.
It would be the people that came before them that would be given the credit for all that.
See, when they did the work on the Sphinx, they found that with the weathering of the Sphinx and all, they found that the Sphinx was approximately 10,500 years old.
That predates.
That's
what
right.
What we know of Egypt.
Predates everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. So they got very nervous at that point, and then they stopped it. And later they opened.
That's what I figured.
That sarcophagus.
They wanted to be able to do it without any of you around.
And it was filled with water.
Well, at least they didn't let you guys open it and then kill you like they did in the movies.
That's true. This is true.
We like you alive and in body.
Now the things that you knew that were there that you were not allowed to open to see, were those from this time on Earth or before? With this civilization or before?
No, pre-civilization or pre-our civilization.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
And that was the problem. If they would have identified things that were predated Egypt as we know it in, 2,000, 3,000 B.C., whenever they were building the pyramids, then they wouldn't, their ancestors would be given the credit probably for a lot of the accomplishments.
Well, there's a disc that's in the library at Crete that tells the story I've told you before of the civilizations of the Earth, the five civilizations. And apparently I deciphered it when I was 9 years old in a trance. So, I was told what I said. I didn't remember anything. So okay. that was pretty cool.
Well, what else?
I marked it over my last.
That's it?
Yeah.
I thought you had questions.
I did. There were three of them. That's plural.
She's expecting the answers to take longer.
Okay, Steve.
Okay.
It was finals week. Give me a break.
can kind of what Brandy and I have been doing as far as the EVPs and all that, you have said that it can attract unwanted entities, energies.
You mean doing EVPs?
Yeah. I'm just wondering to what point should you do that kind of research? And not attract. Can you do that kind of research?
You can't do that research without attracting.
That's what I was wondering. I didn't know.
Of course, now it depends too upon whether the people are gifted with mediumship abilities. The more mediumship abilities you have, the better the EVPs are, because you're going to attract, and they can actually take your energy to create.
The entities can take your energy to create, right? Uh-huh. You can, if you're not naturally gifted with psychic abilities, can you not supplement that with technology?
No. Talking about batteries?
Well, I'm saying like what we're doing as far as actually getting devices that can record at the level, because they've got...
If you're at a place that's highly haunted... you can use a tape recorder, old-fashioned tape recorder, and it does just fine. So it's not that. They use human energy, not batteries, not technological energy. Okay? That's why the real mediums would usually be just worn out after having any kind of sessions, because it takes their energy. It used to be that mediums would lose 8 pounds after, which is a great weight loss, after spirits would come through.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
It's a sign by it.
But mediumship of that degree is relatively rare. I mean, it's not a major happening. But I used to get, when I did this, and of course I did it too, like everybody else, because I had to have first-hand experience, cemeteries were a great place to get EVPs.
Yeah. Also a great place to get nasty, fun friends to come home.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I found out much later, but at that point in time, I had no knowledge. So I was like everybody else. I'm out there, you know, trying to see what I can do, because I'm drawn to the energies and I know there's stuff going on, and I'm trying to understand it. My guides, fortunately for me, protected me greatly, and I guess my guardian angel as well, thank you. But I did all that crazy stuff that I'm warning everyone not to do, because I was smart enough to not get really hurt by it, and protected enough to not really get hurt by it. But there are some people that they can get killed, like, doing this stuff. Well, was it one of the ghost hunters ended up killing himself and his family or his wife, something like that?
Girlfriend and her ex-girlfriend and her boyfriend or something. Yes. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
one? When, I don't remember.
I don't remember which show it was, but he was a Ghostbuster, ghost hunter.
Who are you going to call? Ghostbuster. Carol Pate.
You're going to call? When you go to a funeral at a cemetery, would you suggest before you, like, get back in your vehicle to leave to do your lifting?
Absolutely.
At that time?
My suggestion to you is after you leave the cemetery, then do the lifting.
After you leave. Okay.
Yeah.
So just pull your car over and do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or when you get into your car, as you get off the cemetery grounds. Okay. Memorize it.
Oh, I know it.
It's just, and if nothing else, just the first part of it. If you can get that part of it, you know, ask the Band of Mercy. So they usually catch whatever is a necessity to catch.
Are you familiar with something called a spirit box? It's an electronic device that ghost hunters use.
Let me put it to you this way. No.
I just want to, like I said, someone that, people that aren't, don't have the psychic gift, it seems that there are devices like that.
There are, and they come up with all kinds of words, and that, and they connect the words, connect the dots. I don't think it's really valid. I've seen it. There have been situations where some of the words actually came in at a valid time, but I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worthwhile. I really don't.
Would you recommend old school, like tape recorders?
Yes.
And maybe like a video camera and those?
Video camera works fine. Infrared. When I did work in Japan, when I took a medium to Japan, they used infrared and they taped the spirit coming into the medium, and when she got done, the spirit leaving the medium, which I thought was kind of cool.
Sort of, kind of, maybe.
Sort of, yeah. So, old school works very well, but old school can also get you into trouble. I don't advise it.
So I guess that was kind of my question, is where's the line? Or I know there's probably not a line, but at what point do you start to attract these entities, or they become attracted to you?
When you start searching them out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like people that, oh, I'm not going there. Okay. It's when you start searching them out, then the dark side sees an opportunity and will lure you. You have to understand, spirits, ghosts, whatever label you want to place on them, are people who got bound into this level plus the fourth dimension, have not gone into the light, are called unclean spirits in the Bible. And the demonic has authority over the fourth dimension. That's where the dark side resides, is the fourth dimension. So when you start playing in that area, and I'm telling you, I understand, I did it. You are dabbling, and it can become very dangerous. And they can appear as spirits as well. Dark side can. It's if you have a spirit, if you have a haunting in your house, you want to tape record them, that's fine. But understand, it's got to be for the purpose of getting them help, not for your curiosity. Because that's the lure, the curiosity. And the curiosity is simply because you are afraid of death. And you want to prove in your own mind that there is life after death. I did. Plus, I heard and saw things. I wanted to know why. What was it? What were the rules? I want to know what the rules were. And there are rules. spiritual world.
And that's kind of the way that I see it. I mean, I don't have a doubt about life after death now, but it does seem the more that you do this kind of work, the more familiar you become with the other side and how the dynamics, if you will, of that world.
What they can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of surprising sometimes what they can do. I had a case today, a lovely woman. Her husband had died, and she wanted to make contact with him, and he leaped into my body, and all of a sudden I was dying from what he was dying from. And I didn't know you could die from your sinuses, but he died from his sinuses. And I felt it from there to there, and then all of a sudden...
suffocating.
There turned out to be blood clots that broke.
Wow.
I had never heard of it before.
It's crazy.
Didn't find that out. Like, my mom's been having problems breathing, and she went to the doctor today, and they said she didn't have a blockage, but maybe an infection or something.
This is not the same.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that sometimes that's what they think it is, and what if it's something worse than,
you know. I've never heard of it before. I didn't know what it was until he leaped into my body, and that's when I told her. I said he died with his sinuses. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I blew my mind.
What did she say? What was his cause of death?
That's what he died with. Finally, he was able to talk to her once I got him into, once Carol got him into the light. I couldn't do a thing. I was going under.
Yeah, we debated for a while to see if he was going to pull him off.
He said, I got her right where I want her now.
So how do you about
turn about spare plug.
That's the band of mercy. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, when I get to a point where I can't talk and he's ready to take me over, and he's in dying process anyway, and so I got her to get Carol in there, and she did the lifting on me.
He jumped you, as they call it.
He did.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I like to understand. That's a term they use. They jump you.
They ever seen ghosts where Whoopi Goldberg sitting there? And the guy leaps into her body.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what happens.
Yeah. They jump you.
Yeah.
But often with her, this person has died, and so they're in that dying process or whatever when it happens. So they're a little messed up, and so it really messes her up when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I stay messed up for a little while.
You can still sometimes feel it though without them actually coming into you, correct?
Yes. And I had no idea. I had no idea if he was in the light, not in the light, or anything. I touched into his handwriting, and it was...
That was it.
That was it. Yeah, well, it's been worse.
So occupational hazard.
It is. It truly is.
Well, I've seen you, and it scared me.
Pardon? Before.
I've seen you touch into someone's pain and illness, and that's not fun to watch.
No. Scared her too, and I really didn't mean to do that. I didn't have any choice.
So, are these people? Was he in that state until, I guess, maybe this afternoon, and until you had the Band of Mercy and whatnot? Was he in that state since his death?
Yeah.
Did they get kind of locked? Okay, so for 365 days he's been suffering.
But you have to understand on the other side there's no time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just no time. And he was in that state, but he didn't know what happened to him. He didn't know he had died. He didn't know anything. He was trying to get help. He was trying to get her attention. And she said that's why she came to see me, because she felt him trying to connect to her.
Has she been to you before?
No.
Tell him how she showed up. That was kind of interesting.
Late.
That happens a lot trying to get to you though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It really does. I get lost late.
Hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
No.
about...
She found me on Facebook.
Yeah.
She said she found me on Facebook, and when she found me on Facebook, she knew that I was the one that she needed to come and see, that she could connect to him through me. I think he told her is what he did.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
She just didn't realize he was the one telling her, probably.
She did, but she didn't. She knew he was there with her.
She didn't consciously hear him telling her, probably.
Probably not, but they still, they can talk to you.
Oh, yes.
So, it was really kind of trippy. Sweet, sweet couple. He was real sweet, too. I liked him. So.
Once you've got him,
Except for the sinus thing.
So, from a scientific standpoint, you touching into his signature, his frequency, more or less allowed him to resonate with you, his spirit to resonate with you.
I became one with him, thus he became one with me.
You were like an antenna at that point.
I am exactly that. That is exactly what
to the point, though, that you couldn't stop him from jumping you.
No.
Yeah.
At first, what I thought I was feeling, I knew I was feeling his death, because I told her that. I didn't know immediately that he was there.
Yeah. He was in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until I started losing. I felt him taking over and me losing me.
Now, isn't that a special ability?
It's mediumship.
Yeah. I mean, of the spirit that's jumping you, do they not have to learn how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about them that allows them to do that and other spirits not?
Because I'm a medium.
Mm-hmm. Are they stepping in? They're stepping into the car and they're taking over the drivers and they're pushing you into the passenger seat.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Not everybody can do that.
Right. Is that not a special ability that
not
they kind of learn?
No, it's from me. Okay. It's all mine.
Right. Okay.
I'm like an open vessel.
Right.
Because of my mediumship capabilities.
Anybody can carjack, but not any car can be carjacked.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
It wasn't me.
I like that. Yes, exactly. And I was open. I'd been given permission because I said, yes, I'll do what I can.
She left the door unlocked.
She left it open.
And the keys in the ignition.
She didn't realize she was going to get out of the car and go into 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee.
I didn't. It kind of shocked me because I wasn't aware. And then I went, oh, God, he's got me. And I just knew I was going to be gone.
So how did Carol Jr. come into this?
I had his wife call Carol in. And she knows to do it. Although it's been a rare.
Very often, but once in a while.
You know, occasion. If you're called into the room, go into action, huh?
Well, yeah, and she's sitting there and she can't breathe and she can't talk and she goes,
that was a sign. There's a sign.
Thank you. Well, that was pretty much it, yeah. I was in not good shape.
It's happened to me a few times and nobody knows what to do and I just have to write it out and that's really not fun.
I had it happen on a murder victim. And it was the mother and the two daughters that came to see me to find out what the mother who killed the mother turned out to be her son, their brother. Her father and mother, I'm sorry, her father took me over completely. I spent an hour with them, apparently, or over an hour, and when I came to, I had one here and I had one here. They were on the floor, sitting on the floor, holding my hand.
Wow. No recollection, man.
None. Not a bit. They told me what happened. They told me that she told them how their brother had slit her throat. And it was rough. It was really rough.
Now, the ones that have not gone into the light that you send into the light, like her husband, did he go to the light and immediately come back to you?
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact.
I think that was my experience too once.
Yeah, he was really good. I didn't expect to make contact with him immediately. I really didn't, because usually they have to acclimate for a while after they get over there. But he was so desperate to talk to her and to let her know that he was alive and well, and for her it was okay, and he wanted to tell her he was sorry that he had to pass. And so it was a really good meet, all in a half an hour.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Was it really a half an hour, though?
Yeah, it really was.
With my experience, it was split second, too. You sent my friend into the light, and then immediately they came back to you. He came back to you, too.
It happens, not always, but it does happen. So that was kind of neat. I wish people could understand that ghosts, spirits, however you want to, are
people.
And they need to be respected. They need to be honored. They need to be worked with. They don't need to be treated like a circus.
I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
I think it would be good to either do little video snippets or little audio snippets of you giving Carol Fact of the Week. Or Carol Fact. And ghosts, what most people call spirits, do like a couple minutes. Like, and we can put it on Facebook. We can share it. We can do a little video of, this is what a ghost is. A ghost is not something spooky and scary. It's just a person who wants help.
That's a good idea.
And just do little quick little couple minute videos. That way people don't have to sign up to listen to their, and nothing that would be protected on the blog, so we can just share it on Facebook.
Okay.
And people can share it, people can comment on it, people can interact with it, and just couple minutes, because people will watch a couple minute long
video. Yes, they will. Mm-hmm. All day long.
Yeah, just a couple minutes. Just little fun tidbits like that.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Especially stuff that can apply to their everyday life. Absolutely. Like after a loved one has passed, what things can happen.
Or if you're having these symptoms, if you have a lot of chatter in your head, if you're feeling drained, if you're doing things that are not your normal behavior, you may have a spirit attached to you. We recommend calling upon the Band of Mercy in the name of Jesus Christ using this formula. Or if you're having this, this could be symptomatic of this type of thing going on.
Okay.
Fast Facts with Carol.
There you go.
Well, I really, really, really want people to understand for their own sake, you know. I watch these Ghostbuster shows and all that, and oh dear God, they're so disrespectful. They're mean, and sometimes these are children. These aren't just adults. Very often they're children. I mean, you don't know what you're encountering.
No, they don't. That's exactly what it is. They don't know.
And they don't care.
They're ignorant.
If somebody's here, I dare you to do this. I dare you to throw that knife at me if you're really here. The knife goes flying and then, wow!
Yeah. It's really despicable.
And it's all for the dollar.
Yeah, well.
While they're doing it.
Wait till they get on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody does that to them.
Another one. If you have a ghost in your house, just because it's a good one that might be nice and might not cause you harm, it's still not a good idea to keep them around as a pet.
Exactly. And people, but I understand one side of that, and that is they don't know what to do.
Right.
So consequently, that's the safest route to take. And there's benefits to both parties, they think.
But that's doing that kind of thing, long story short.
Teaching.
Teaching fast facts with Carol. I think that's what we need to call it, fast facts with Carol.
Okay. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I like it.
There's a lot of people out there that have hauntings and stuff going on, and they don't have a clue.
And there's a lot to know, too. And as I sit here and we go over them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or, oh, yeah, we mm-hmm. talked about that, but I forgot about it. And so I can get a good refresher course, too, yeah.
Okay.
And you have, I mean, you've got almost 1,400 likes on Facebook, so.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, we need to get it active.
Yeah.
More stuff.
Right.
I'm telling you, I think those little videos, just maybe, and we could do maybe one like every Monday, and then I could post it.
I think you're right, Savannah.
Like film one every Monday, or film a couple. I mean, obviously not, we're coming up.
We can also put them on YouTube. Yes, no?
YouTube, I mean, YouTube isn't, it's just easier to share on Facebook.
It is easier to share.
You can just hit share, like, comment, and other people see it, so there's more exposure versus YouTube. You have to have the link, and you have to go to YouTube.
I think I'm on YouTube.
You are on YouTube. But there's a lot of people that are on that go to YouTube that are not on Facebook too.
It could be a multifaceted approach. I'm also in the middle of, I also have a nice little break from school, so let me not completely jump face first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube videos on Facebook are a pretty good combination as far as traffic's concerned.
Yeah.
Because you do get people that can watch them that aren't on Facebook.
A lot of people don't. A lot of younger people don't do Facebook at all anymore.
Did you ever get Nancy Grace's interview with me?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good.
I do believe I shared that.
I don't. I have not seen that.
That's about, I guess, 20 minutes, half hour. 20 minutes.
It was shared a while back on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page.
A while back.
I need to make sure that I'm getting things when that comes on. I'm not getting notifications on that.
It was cool. She praised me.
Well, that's good.
For Nancy Grace, too, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's impressive. Was on October 4th.
Can we just do a link to it?
There is a link to it.
If it's on Facebook, it'll
be. Okay.
1,088 people were reached.
Out of 1,400?
That was before there were 1,000 people.
Oh, that's good.
The page.
Yeah, because I did not see it. I need to check that.
Yeah, there's just a lot of activity on the Facebook page.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
I really appreciate the questions. The questions really help me. Because I'm kind of like, I have all this information, but unless you ask the right question, the information can't come out. Because I'm so...
Unless you have a subject to teach about, it's hard to teach. There's so much.
Well, there isn't. I take my information for granted a lot of times. I don't mean to. I live it every day. You know, it's not like I visit it once a week. I absolutely live it every single day of my life. Whether I'm here or I'm even at my home, there's something going on. So I do need good questions, though, because it helps so I can better educate.
And there's sometimes we get some weird stuff.
Well, I'm going to get weird stuff. I mean, this is a weird field. What do you expect?
But some of those weird questions also lead to other
things. No. There's... We'll talk.
Well, I think it's interesting. I was talking to a friend the other day about the Socratic method of teaching by asking questions. And you really can hone in on what people know pretty quickly by asking questions, and you know at what level to start teaching.
I agree 100%.
You know, as opposed to trying to come...
To get up and lecture.
At your level. You may be going over everybody's head or under, you know. But to ask the questions and kind of get a feel for where they are or where the group is and then kind of approach it at that level really
well, that's helps. How my guides taught me. They taught me that they would give me the answers as I was ready because of the questions I would present to them.
Cool.
And that's the way they taught me to do others. So that I wouldn't go over their heads.
Yeah, for years I was just wanting to say, Carol, just tell us what we need to know. Quit all this question.
Do you want to go home in the near future or sleep?
Well, the problem is people have these filters, and the filters only allow so much information in, and the information they filter through their filters, and they only hear certain aspects of it.
It's just like a child.
And exactly.
What are the filters made of?
What are the filters made of, Carol?
Fear.
That's right. Yeah, your filters are your fear. Those are all fear-based. Yeah, they came through one day. I was sitting here with Carol, and they were talking about the emotions and how dangerous the emotions were. And that was the major thing that we were supposed to accomplish while we're here on in this physical, material plane of existence, was our buttons being pushed to our emotions. And that if we could, there's no way we can ever control. It's impossible. But if we could learn to master to some degree those emotions and get rid of that fear base, we would accomplish a great deal in a short period. And you, I'm telling you, you have levels and layers of that.
Emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. I think, is a term that's used for that.
Differentiation.
And from past lives as well. Mm-hmm. Not only from this lifetime, but you've carried in past life stuff that you didn't overcome, that you still need to work on. Mm-hmm. That's the reason you carry it in. And then it comes active when you meet certain people that you still have those lessons with that you didn't complete in the past lifetimes. Which is wild. It can get really wild. And that's when obsession comes in to bear. Obsession with certain individuals. Your daughter has that. She has the obsession. It's from past life.
Really?
Same situation over and over and over again that she was never able to fully complete. Sorry, that was just there.
How do you get past it? How can she get past it? Just
actually, the only way, there's a couple of ways of doing it, but the major thing is to forgive them on a soul level. And ask for forgiveness on a soul level. And then you completed.
And the walnut?
The walnut really helps if you can use the... Walnut is a flower essence. Mm-hmm. It's a Bach flower remedy is what it is. And if you take 7 drops of walnut after you've done the forgiving, and it diffuses your 7 chakras from that past life event, from that lesson, and can eradicate it.
Okay, kind of so there are specific past life traumas. So, for example, if somebody bludgeoned me over the head and it killed me, I could re-experience that physical trauma because that trauma was locked into that injury.
Correct.
But it's also locked into the energy centers, which are the chakras. So it's locked into the space of the trauma and into our chakras.
Correct.
And so by tapping on, if you have, say, for example, that trauma, if you tap the trauma and you tap the chakras, you are releasing it on
all levels.
All levels.
Along with the forgiveness. You
along
have to
with
forgive.
The forgiveness.
But. Yeah, I've got it. I've got
tapping that. Not past life traumas.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that on the website.
Is it about the forgiveness part is... Hold on, let me double check and make sure that's on there. Talk amongst yourselves.
But she needs to do that. That would be helpful for her, because I know she wants to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's frustrating when you want to do something, but you don't know how to do it.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's why I'm putting all this information out there, because we've got all these folks, and they're going through all this stuff, and... It's like, well, how do I make it go away? How do I overcome this? What do I do? Well, you do this, 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 and this.
How to?
Yeah.
Like more. You with your property. Oh, my God. She's sitting there with a vortex letting spirits in and out of her property like crazy. And she can't do anything because it's not really on your property. But it opens onto your property and other people's property as well. That's a portal. They can very often be portals.
So you don't necessarily, you can't redeem everybody in that particular instance because you always have more that can come in if it's a portal.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you?
there are unnatural vortexes that have been created through ceremonies.
Could you call forth Vortex Eon Jaw to help with that?
But
it's not on your... I'm with you.
If it's on your property, you can do more. If it's not on your property...
You're up Doodoo Creek without a paddle.
Yes. And I suspect it's on maybe more than one person's property. I think you may have two or three.
Yeah.
So there's not anything you can really do with that. I mean, you can protect yourself. You're safe.
Yeah. Just keep praying and asking the Band of Mercy to...
Don't renew your lease.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah.
At a given time, you need to leave.
I do. Yeah. I do, because it does... I think it does kind of suck my energy up a little bit.
It does.
Yeah, because I'm not as productive as I used to be, and I'm having trouble with the whole...
It's hard on animals, too. It can actually kill animals.
Yeah.
Drains them. Not a good situation. Although you were sent there for a specific reason, and that was to open you up. So you had an opportunity to become knowledgeable. And in turn, you'll share that.
Yeah. I did share it with one person, and I actually forgot I told him this, but his grandmother was passing away, and I was like, you want to pray that, you know, someone's there to take her to the light, and he did, and she passed away on her wedding anniversary, so he feels that she's with her husband.
Yeah. That knowledge helps, because it can make transitions so much smoother and easier, and there are good things you can do with the information. You can be a light worker with the information.
But so if she owned the property, then she would be able to do something about the vortex?
To some degree, it depends. There are natural vortices that are positive and negative.
What is positive? What's a positive vortex do?
A positive vortex actually can enhance your psychic abilities, can enhance any gifts that you have. Sedona, there's some positive vortexes there. The negative vortexes, though, can be really bad. Spirits go in and out of those. The demonic goes in and out of those. It's power places, power centers, very often have vortexes. That's what makes them a power center. They have the ley lines. Mm-hmm. So we have natural and unnatural.
With the forgiveness, I'm adding this in because this wasn't on here, so I'm
typing it out here. So, when upon completion, you do the forgiving and ask for forgiveness on a soul level from all past lives through present before you do the tapping process.
And would you in turn ask for them to forgive you on a soul level?
Yes, you do the forgiving and ask for forgiveness from them.
All past lives through present on all levels, or just from all
past lives? No, from all past life through present.
In the name of Jesus Christ?
Uh-huh. Now they're seeing how we work in progress.
It's releasing past life traumas is the page that it's on the blog.
Okay.
And it's on there. There's stuff about kinesiology, about the finger testing. There's the first step. So there's like the forgiveness, and then the tapping out, and the finger circles, and kind of a step by step how to do that.
And that's separate from Facebook?
It's on the website. Not on Facebook, on the website.
On curlpate.com.
We keep the stuff that goes on Facebook kind of to maybe like surface level.
Lighter level.
But then we go scuba diving, like we're snorkeling on the Facebook page and we go scuba diving on the website. And then you get her off the recorder.
And then she free dives.
Out
of the Titanic. She's a free diver.
Okay.
How are we doing?
It's 9:15.
Oh.
Yeah, 20. Oh, wow. Okay. Break time.
Break.
Since we got started at 8:15.
So that's up there. Anything else we need to work on while
I don't have my glasses on. I can't see a thing.
I know, just hand it to me.
Erase.